Good morning, everyone. We'll be continuing from Ruth chapter 2. And I want to start by reading the entire chapter. I had the ambitious notion of trying to do 2 and 3 today. But I only have so much time, so we'll see. I doubt we'll be able to do that. Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here. Have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead," she added. "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So in chapter 2, we could call it Act 2. And just like in chapter 1, we have three scenes here. After an introduction, a cryptic introduction of this well-to-do relative of theirs, Boaz, we see this short scene where Ruth tells her mother-in-law, well, I'm going to go out and see what I can do to provide for us. And then we see this extended scene in the field with Boaz and all his other workers. And then the third scene, we see the after-action report. So we're introduced to Boaz. He's a man of substance who so happens to come from the clan of Elimelech. Ruth wants to go and work and see who she will find favor. And when we see how she did, the kind of work she describes, she wants to glean in the fields after the people who were harvesting. Now, what she's referring to here, the thing with this book of Ruth is, especially in chapters 2, 3, and 4, you have all these practices mentioned there that we kind of need some back story or context to understand. So they had this practice of allowing the underprivileged, the poor in the community, to glean the fields either during the harvest or after the harvest. And that was part of their social welfare system that was built into the laws that God gave to them. It was not the government who had the sole responsibility of taking care of the less privileged. It was everyone. People were to be intentional about the poor. God's blessings came with the responsibility of taking care of others who were not well off. And what I want to do now is to read some scriptures in the Old Testament that where we see these instructions given. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 and 10, it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19, 20, and 21. And I'll stop sounding like a broken record, I promise. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. You get the point. Those who were blessed had the responsibility of being a blessing to those who were less fortunate. That was built into the very fabric of their way of life. But you also notice something. Those less privileged, those poor, they also needed to work. And in this story, we see that willingness to work hard in the life of Ruth matched only by the generosity of Boaz. So it's not uncommon to see people who are needy, but who don't demonstrate a willingness to work hard. At least as far as human eyes can see. And sometimes when I think about it, maybe sometimes life has beaten the spark out of their eyes and they think that there's no hope, there's no point in trying. Maybe somebody who's hearing this feels and can clearly see by every objective indicator that the deck is so stacked against you. That was Ruth. Let's see something about Ruth. She's a widow. She's a foreigner. You remember the categories that were mentioned in all those verses we read? That was Ruth. She was a poster child for the poor, the less privileged. It's a double whammy. But what did Ruth do? She set out to see what she could do to provide for herself and her mother-in-law. When you feel helpless, let me suggest one way to respond to situations where you feel helpless. Solve the problem of another person. Step out in faith. Remember our main observation from chapter 1 last week, how God uses the ordinary faithfulness and love of ordinary people to accomplish his extraordinary purposes. Where are you feeling helpless today? My suggestion and challenge to you is to open your eyes and look around and see where you can help somebody else. Perhaps you have a legitimate $50,000 need, but there's someone near you who's feeling helpless about $1,000. You have $1,500, which is nothing compared to your need of $50,000, but it's everything to the person beside you who needs $1,000. Perhaps you feel helpless about loneliness. Maybe you have children and grandchildren who are not accessible. Can I suggest you open your eyes and look around? Is there some kid near you who needs a grandmother figure in their life? Ruth was poor. She was a widow. She was a foreigner. But she chose to go out to glean in order to provide for herself and her mother-in-law, Naomi. We're blessed to be a blessing. Now, we also see Boaz as an example of the people who have been blessed and who had this responsibility of caring for the poor. Have you been blessed? How can you be a blessing intentionally to those around you who need help? I think that often in our communities, those who are blessed are sometimes unwilling to be a blessing to others who need it. Perhaps, in my view, there's this natural instinct to conserve and protect what we have, and therefore to see those who need as threats to our comforts, our security, and our way of life. So we slide into this NIMBY way of doing things. Everybody here familiar with NIMBY? NIMBY. Not in my backyard. Years ago, where we were living in West Eugene, there was a proposal to build a home for homeless youth. And there was this big uproar, a huge clamor against it by the people in the neighborhood. It was your classic NIMBY. Yeah, I love how St. Vinny's is helping vulnerable youth. Just not in my backyard. Yeah, we can help the many people in our community who are unhoused. But hold on. Just NIMBY. Oh, that Moabite widow, the young woman, she returned with Naomi. How cute, how quaint. She's so loyal to her mother-in-law.
How's she going to survive? I hope someone helps her. I hope someone is kind and generous to her. Just NIMBY.
Some of the loudest voices in our community, in our country today, have no compunction about vilifying migrants, for instance, and portraying them as rapists and murderers. Here's the thing. Let me just give one example. According to a 2020 study, it was published in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Undocumented immigrants have substantially lower crime rates than native-born citizens and legal immigrants across a wide range of felony offenses. That's a direct quote from the study. It's another quote. Relative to undocumented immigrants, U.S.-born citizens are over 2 times more likely to be arrested for violent crimes, 2.5 times more likely to be arrested for drug crimes, and over 4 times more likely to be arrested for property crimes. The data was from arrest data from the Texas Department of Public Safety. So it was the state of Texas. You have a lot of undocumented immigrants there. But yeah, they're rapists, they're terrorists, they're murderers. Here's why. It's easy to not care about someone if you can convince yourself that the person does not deserve it. We first dehumanize people, and then it's easy to destroy them. It's hard to be a blessing to those on the margins if we first dehumanize them. But friends, let's pay a little attention to how Boaz addresses Ruth. In chapter 2, verse 8, he calls her my daughter. She was a foreigner. Boaz uses familiar language to address this foreigner. It wasn't some moment of amnesia. It wasn't under any illusions that Ruth was his actual daughter. But the manner of address we find there makes everything that follows that statement so not surprising. I mean, even Ruth herself is shocked. Verse 10. Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? We're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. Can you do me a favor? Can you turn to the person sitting next to you and say, you're blessed to be a blessing? I look at Boaz's response in verse 11 and 12. I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. See, one of the things we find constantly repeated in the book of Ruth that we could even say is a big theme of the book is the whole idea of kindness, loving kindness, hesed. It's a word that's used to describe God, God's character, and God's nature. It's a word we find many of these main characters in the story using to describe themselves. And Naomi uses it in our conversation with her 2 daughters-in-law on the way back. May God reward you for your kindness to your dad. And we don't just see it named, we also see it enacted. Naomi says, yeah, you've shown chesed to my sons, my late sons. And what does Naomi, what does Ruth do? Ruth enacts chesed by saying, yes, I'm here for the long haul. Don't ask me to leave you. Where you go, that's where I'm going. Where you die, that's where I'll be. Here in chapter 2, we see Boaz identifying Ruth's chesed, her loving kindness to her mother-in-law. But then also, we see Boaz enacting that same kind of loving kindness. We read those prescriptions. The prescription said, you know, don't harvest to the very edges of the field. If you see you left a patch, leave it. Don't go back for it. Leave it for the poor and the foreigner and the widow. But what does Boaz tell his men? He doesn't just tell them not to finish everything. He says to them, as you harvest, you know, it's okay. You can drop some intentionally. In fact, he tells them, take some of the sheaves and drop it. Make it easy for her. Let's make our harvesting days that are full of hard work. Let's make it feel like Christmas came early. Boaz tells her, if you feel thirsty, go help yourself to the water jars. At lunch, he says to her, come. He invites her to share his own meal. He gives her so much food that she has leftover to take back to her mother-in-law. Boaz was a godly man. As he recognized and acknowledged Ruth's love and faithfulness to her mother-in-law, Boaz was showing and enacting the same thing in his treatment of Ruth. You know, it's almost like it was a ripple effect of compassion. Ruth shows her mother-in-law compassion. Everybody hears about it. It's spread about. And Boaz shows the same compassion to Ruth. Imagine what could happen. Can we dream a little bit? Imagine what could happen if all of us were intentional about that. Imagine if there was a compassion riptide that was flowing through this community. Boaz talks about Ruth taking refuge under the wings of God. And, well, it's more on that. Oh, we're still in chapter 2. Okay, we're not going to get to chapter 3 today. Because the play on words is very clear. We see that language also show up in chapter 3 in this very strange, and anyway, let me not spoil it. We'll finish up. We'll do chapter 3 and 4 next Sunday. But let me just point out, we're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. How can you be a blessing to someone today? This week, who can you be a blessing to? How can we all live in such a way that the ways in which God has blessed us makes a difference in someone's life? Naomi, widow who's bereft of her sons and her husband, older. Ruth is younger She has a strength and vigor. She chooses to be a blessing to Naomi. She chooses to go work hard to provide for her mother-in-law. Boaz seems to be older, probably from the same generation as Naomi herself. He's a wealthy man. He chooses to be a blessing. He recognizes the responsibility that God gave them to care for the poor. And he goes over and beyond the letter of the law. It's a beautiful story. We're blessed to be a blessing. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that you'll open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to see the many ways that we can be a blessing to others. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you will cause a riptide of compassion, of kindness, of faithfulness, of hesed to flow from and through us. Would you cause us to respond to the truth of your word with faith and with obedience? And do it all for your glory, as we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen.